and just ask the Lord to really help us and speak to our hearts. And I cannot really just tell you what an honor and a blessing it is to hear of all the people involved and how they've been involved in trying to be a help and a blessing, and people wanting to just be that way. And we would like to just give all the glory and honor to Jesus Christ. And if we ever get an opportunity to serve somebody as Christians, we want to make sure that he gets the honor and he gets the praise and he gets the glory. We don't do things for ourselves. Amen. We do these for him. And we're not trying to be men pleasers. We're not trying to have people point out and say, wow, those people are really great Christians. We're just trying to be an encouragement of the body of Christ. I want to speak to that a little bit tonight. And would you stand with me, please, for the reading of God's Word, Hebrews chapter 10. And I want to read several verses beginning in verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiness by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Heavenly Father, tonight I pray that you'd use me as your mouthpiece and preach through me your message to us, your people. And for that to happen and you get the honor and glory, I need your help. I pray that you'd help me to be emptied of anything self-sufficient or vain so that I could be filled with your Spirit and used as a vessel and to honor. I thank you for these that have come tonight, and I thank you for the blessings that you have poured not only down to us, but Lord, through us to others. And I thank you for a church like this one. I thank you for, Lord, allowing us to serve you together. And I pray that you'd bless them. And tonight, I pray that you'd speak to our hearts. Thank you for all these that are here. I pray that you'd minister to them in their need. And whatever that need is, Lord, you know that they have need before they ask, and I pray that you'd provide it for them. I pray that you'd encourage and strengthen tonight. I pray, Father, that our hearts would be knit together as the body of Christ. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Can we really trust God? Can we really trust him? Is there anything that we cannot trust God with? Some of you believe that we can trust God. Let me ask you this. How much of the Bible can we believe? So we don't have to discount some of it, because then we'd have to start guessing at which parts are true and not true. Is that true? Say amen. Do we have an enemy?
Yes.
Okay. Did God destroy the earth because of sin? Do you believe that? Did he destroy the earth because of sin? How did he do it? A flood. So you know that. Okay. Does God hate sin?
Yes.
Okay. Does he love sinners?
Yes.
You believe that? Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross to pay for all sin? Okay. Did he rise again 3 days later?
Amen.
You betcha he did. Is he coming again?
Amen.
You believe that?
Amen.
Okay. Do you really believe all of that?
Amen.
Do you really believe all of that? Because like three of you do.
Amen.
Do you really believe all of that? If you do, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, then why are we here? I mean, if we know, like many of us sitting in this room, I already know the Bible. I already know probably what you're going to say. I've read this passage before. Then why are we really here? I say that rhetorically because I know what I'm going to preach. But if you really all have it all together, then why are you here? Why are any of us here? Why are we in this building tonight? I want to say this. God is doing a work in our church and has been for the last several weeks, and you may not have ever noticed it. And I will tell you as the pastor, because I know all the backstories, I really don't want them to stop. I really don't. This morning, a young lady was saved, and Lord willing, this week another will be saved. Christians have been encouraged and helped. Brothers and sisters in Christ have been serving one another, and praying one another and sacrificing for one another, as we should always be ready to do. So if that's the case, why are we here? I mean, we could do all that on Facebook. We could just make phone calls and send texts. I want you to, if you have something to write with tonight, I want you to write a title tonight on a piece of paper. Do you have note sheets?
Yes.
I want you to write this out. What we need is right here. What we need is right here. That's the title of the message. And the text is Hebrews 10, 19 through 25. And just, I don't know exactly why the Lord put this on my heart, but I want to give you four suggestions as to why we continue to have Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night services. I want to give you four suggestions as to why we're going to not only just continue to do so, but why we won't be canceling any revival meetings anytime soon or any missions conferences anytime soon. And I want you to see, as the Bible says here, as the day is approaching, I want to give you four suggestions as to why we come to church, as to why you're sitting in this building tonight. And it's because you have something that you need to have, and you can only have it as a part of a local New Testament Bible-believing church. And I want to suggest those from the Word of God. Why are we here? If you already know that you can trust God, why do you come? If you already believe that He died on the cross to save the world and your sins are actually forgiven and you're saved, why do you come? If you already know what God's will is for your family, you already know how to govern them, you already know how to rule them, you already know how to love them, you already know how to have a good marriage, why are you here? All of what you need, and by the way, we all have needs, are why we're here, and I want to suggest those to you tonight. First of all, I believe that we are here because we need to strengthen our faith. We still come to church, though we say we can trust God, though we say we believe all the Bible, though we say all of these things, we need to come to church. Why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why we're here. Because every day is something different. We need to be reminded when we come to church that God can do all that He said and that He will do all that He said. That's why we're here. We need to come here to be reminded that He is faithful. Do you know why? Because emotions make us feel like He isn't. We have no idea what the days are coming ahead. And what we do know that Jesus said is coming, it's not really good. It's only going to get worse. And so, why do we come? If we've already believe all this, and we all have it all together, and we already know what God has in store, we already know how it ends, we know how it begins, and it's the in-between that we may not completely understand, but we can just say, well, I just believe the Bible, then why are we here? Because that faith every single day needs to be strengthened. And every single time the Bible is open and preached, it is important for our faith's sake that we hear the Word of God preached and be reminded, because the devil's a liar and he wants us to cancel out all that faith. Faith is paramount to the Christian. In fact, it is so important that the word faith or the word faithful is mentioned 300 times in the New Testament. Friend, do you understand? If God says something three times, we ought to pay attention, but 300 times? God said, I want to mention to you the importance of this word faith. At the root, the word faith and faithful are the same word. However, one means to believe or trust from your heart. The other is an adherence to what you say and believe. By the way, many times in the New Testament, over and over, and I just glanced at them. I don't know the exact many times, but over and over, it's repeated by God. He's faithful. God is faithful. The Lord Himself will do this. He is faithful. He's faithful to do it. Faithful is He who calleth you, who also will do it. Over and over again. And that's the cry of the New Testament. Why? Because God knew that our faith was going to waver. God knew that the liar was going to try to cause doubt and fear and despair. God knew that our own heart and our emotions were going to lie to us. And so He says, listen, I'm going to establish something called the local church. You need to be a part of it. You need to listen. Why? Because your faith needs to be strengthened. Amen. God wants us to live by faith, to trust that He is faithful, and for us to be faithful because of what we believe. And that does not come without preaching of the Word of God. Will you take your Bible just for a minute and turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1? I promise this is going to be the longest point. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If we already whatever, why then are you here? Because your faith needs to be reminded in the God that Miss Marquez read from Psalm 50 and verse 1, that he's the God that spoke and it was. That he has all power, that he is all wise, and that he has all of our lives right in the palms of his hand, and he is in control, and he already knows what tomorrow holds. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1, look at verse 18, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Do you know what I need? Preaching of the word of God. I need to be reminded that Jesus Christ died and that that almighty God that was hung between heaven and earth as if despised and rejected by both rose again 3 days later, and that power gives me power to live every single day, and believing that every day helps me. Look down at verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Look down at verse 25. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and the things that are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not to bring to naught the things that are. Why? That no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Look at chapter 2, if you will, for a minute, in verse 4. And my speech, Paul's preaching, the one that said today, none of these things move me. Notice what he says. Then my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit. Spirit and of power, that your what? That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Do you understand what happens when you miss church and when you decide I don't need to hear preaching and I don't need to be around the people of God? We'll talk about it in a minute. What starts to happen? You start believing man's wisdom. In fact, you can be led to believe in your own wisdom, and what you need to be reminded of is that is foolishness compared to the wisdom of Almighty God. I need to have my faith strength, and I need to be reminded that I am dependent upon God. One day when you go through the storm and the darkness begins to creep in around you and the sands begin to shift beneath you, you're going to need to have something substantial to stand on. It won't be chicken soup for the soul or living your best life or name it and claim it. You're going to have to stand. You're going to need to be able to stand on the promises of God, friend. You're going to need to open up the Bible, and you're going to need to hear again, this is my God. He's that almighty. He's that faithful. He's that loving. He's that good. And I need to be reminded every single day of that. Can't get enough preaching of how good our God is and what he's done for us. Psalm 40 and verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me. And he heard my cry. He brought me up also out of the horrible pit, out of the miry clay. And he set my feet on a rock and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and that respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn to lies. Many, O Lord my God, listen to the resolve. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Randy and Becky have said that they, when they were at the bottom, emotionally, the only thing that was holding them up, the only thing that was making sense, was what they had been taught to believe from the Word of God. Where did they get that? From this church. From being under the preaching of the Word of God. Their faith has been established in one person, God Almighty. Let me be honest. We don't really know what tomorrow holds. And as I said, what we're told by Jesus, it's not going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. So do you need your faith strengthened? Do you need to be reminded who's in control? Because God's in control. You need to be reminded of how faithful he is, because he is always faithful. We come here, what do we need? What do we need? We need our faith to be strengthened. Every day you need your faith to be strengthened. Why? Because according to Matthew 6, the Bible says, sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Every day there's going to be evil presented to you, every day. And what is the only thing, according to Ephesians chapter 6, that quenches the fiery darts of the evil one? Faith. The shield of faith that quencheth the darts, the fiery darts. Why are we here? To strengthen our faith. What do we need? Our faith strengthened. That's why we come. I don't care if you read your Bible through six times in a year. You still ought to come to hear it preached. Amen. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Every day has a new challenge. Every day brings a new emotion. Every day brings a new circumstance. So I need my faith to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We come to strengthen our faith. Secondly, we come to encourage our friends. The Bible says here very carefully in verses 23 through 25, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another and to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Twice God talks about encouraging and exhorting and considering one another. He's trying to get Christians here not to look at themselves, but to look at other people and their reasons. Why? Because we need encouragement. Everybody needs to be encouraged. Yes, we need to hear of the faith, and we need to hear who God is. We need to learn about faith, but we also need to be encouraged from our friends. Galatians 6, verse 1, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. And in that context, here's the verse, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. People need encouragement, and I need encouragement, and the Bible exhorts us to exhort one another, to encourage, to build up. We need to hear about the faith of those in Scripture, and we do. We need to hear about the faith of Noah that found grace in the eyes of God. And we need to hear about the faith of Joseph and his journey into the prison to the palace. We need to hear about Daniel's journey. We need to hear about Elijah calling down fire. We need to hear that God fed him by the brook Cherith and all of that. We need to hear about that. But you know what? We also need to hear about your faith in God. We need to hear about how God's encouraging you and how God's answering your prayers. We need to hear about God, how he's working in your life. By the way, how is he working in your life? You know that for some people, that is a daunting question. Well, I hope Pastor doesn't come up to me and say, how's God working in your life? Because I got to be honest, if I was just quiet by myself, I don't know that he is. Oh, he's working. And you're either agreeing with him and you're not, or you're not. Because he's always working. Always. You don't have to worry about God being lazy. He is always working. Now, if that's true, how's he working in your life? Well, I'd like to hear about it. It would encourage me. It encourages me when I talk to families and I hear what God is doing. It encourages me. Why? Because it strengthens my faith. It encourages me to watch someone's faith exercise. We get exhortation from the pulpit all the time, but do we get it or seek it from one another? I believe exhortation goes both ways. I think we need to seek it, and I think we need to be willing to give it regularly. We ought to. We ought to be able to encourage each other in the Lord. We ought to be able to ask the questions, hey, what'd you read in your Bible? Hey, how's God at work in your life? Hey, that guy that I was praying for, did you get to witness to him yet? What's that? Exhortation. I said, well, I don't like that kind of exhortation if it's all the same to me, to you. No, you need that kind of exhortation. We all do. Why? Because the goal is that we would hold fast the profession of our faith. That's the goal. Look, we know that it's much easier to walk a path with someone else. It's much easier. This last week, we got to go to Tahoe for a couple of days. And if anybody's ever been, you ever been to Viking's Home Castle in Emerald Bay in Lake Tahoe, South Lake Tahoe? Nobody? Wow. Don't go. No, it's a great place. It really is. But it's a mile walk down to this old Danish castle that was built down there, and it's a mile walk back up, and it's awful. The walk downhill is great, but coming back up is awful. The only thing that makes it easier is knowing that there are four other people who are sucking air as hard as you are. Now, that's not totally true. There was only a couple other people that were sucking air. Really, let's be honest. It was my wife and I sucking air. Everybody else was running circles around us, right? But it was just nice that they waited for us. It's much better. It seems to be easier when you're not walking alone. Yeah. When you say, I'm not the only one in this boat. I'm not the only one walking down this line. I'm not the only one going through this. It just seems to be much easier when you know that there are other imperfect people who need the grace of God in their life. Amen. the exhortation from the Bible. Philippians chapter 2, if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit at all, if any bowels of mercy, fulfill ye my joy, listen, that ye be like-minded, having the same love. That's the Christ love. Being of one accord, of one mind, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. I could spend the rest of the hour going through the Bible and talking about the importance of being together, but I'm going to address that here in another minute. So why are we here? To get our faith strengthened. Because we need to have our faith strengthened, to strengthen our faith. Why do you come? I hope that you come thinking, man, I sure need some encouragement. I need to be around my church family. I need to be around my church family. Man, two Sunday nights ago, Sunday afternoon, when I was visiting with Randy and Becky, they said, Pastor, we need our church family. Tell them to come over. Man, so many of you responded that very night, and you went over there. And the arms of Christ just enveloped this family and the Williams family and the extended Sorrentino family. And what did they see? They saw a church who were full of sinners, who've been saved by grace, extending the love of Jesus Christ, and it touched them. Randy's uncle said to me, I've never seen anything like it. I feel like we should be a part of your church. Others have talked about just the impressiveness of the grace of Almighty God being extended, the encouragement that has been there. Oh my goodness. You know what? You need that. And it doesn't have to come at such a high price. All you just have to do is be here. That's the importance. Why do we come? To strengthen our faith. Why do we come? To encourage our friends. Let me suggest a third reason. We come to, number three, to confess our faults. To confess our faults. Now, Brother Hawley, a couple of weeks ago, preached from James chapter 5, and he talked about prayer. One of the verses that he used was verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then the verse, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, interestingly enough, the Greek word for fault there is not the word that the Bible uses that is a synonym of the word for willful transgression. That word is used mostly in the context of the cross of Calvary and the suffering that Jesus had on the cross, went through to pay for sin. This word, however, is I love the word of God. This word, fault, here is not the word for transgression. This word means a falling by the wayside. It means an error. It means, listen to this, a lapse. So it doesn't constitute a willful transgression against the law of God. It's a lapse in judgment. Listen, a lapse in faith. It's a lapse. It's a mistake. It's making a mistake. That's the word in the Greek. Now, When it's used by the Lord Jesus, in fact, it has to do with each other. In fact, turn there, if you will, Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to give you two passages, Matthew 6 and Matthew 18. So it's not talking about, if I understand my Bible correctly, coming and confessing our sin against God, one to another. By the way, there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, all right? So that's who you confess to. You don't confess to me, Michael, when you blow it. You don't confess to me, you confess to God straightly, okay? You go straight to him because of Jesus. And in fact, the beginning of this passage says we can go into the holiest by the blood of Christ. And the pretext to that is that there has been remission of sin because of the blood of Jesus. How many are thankful for the blood of Christ? Amen? Now watch. When it's used by the Lord Jesus, it has to do with our error or our mistake with one another. And the Bible word that's translated when Jesus speaks of it is trespass. Listen, for if ye forgive men their trespasses, verse 14, Matthew 6, if ye forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if ye forgive not men their trespasses, that's the same Greek word that we find here in James 5, neither will your Father forgive your mistakes. Let's say it this way, your lapse of judgment or faith. Turn to Matthew 18, if you will. Matthew 18, verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. Now, when there is aught or fault among the brethren, there can be no unity. Would you agree with that? When there's ought, when there's been a mistake, when there's been a lapse of judgment, when there's been an error committed against somebody, there cannot be any unity. And unity is what God looks for when a church goes to work in prayer. Acts chapter 2 and verse 1, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. The word accord there, listen carefully, is unanimous with consent. Listen to the word, together. Unanimous. There was no ought. There was no mistake. There was no lapse. Acts chapter 2, verse 46, and they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, that eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Why? Because they were unanimous. There was no ought. So their prayers were not hindered. They were in one accord. Acts chapter 4, verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Why? Because they didn't have any aught. They were willing, if necessary, to confess fault. I have had a lapse in judgment. I have made a mistake. Anybody in here ever made a mistake? Raise your hand if you've ever made a mistake, one mistake in your whole life. Just one. Just one. Raise your hand. Keep it up. This is good therapy. You've made one mistake in your whole life. Anybody? Rob, I know you've made at least three, so raise your hands. Okay, good. All right, good. Now, we've all made mistakes. The question is, have we ever got them right? Have we been able and willing to humble ourselves and made them right? Have we ever confessed? Now look, remember, we confess our sin to God. But before we can do that, according to the passages that I gave you in Matthew 6 and in Matthew chapter 18, we better go first to the one that we have ought against. And we better make those right. Is everybody hearing me tonight? Confess our faults. Well, what? So you're telling me that though I believe all this and I want to have my faith strengthened and I come for encouragement, but that person over there I have ought with, so instead of confessing my fault and making this right, I'm going to sit on the other side of the church. Then your prayers are hindered and so is this church. I just showed you from Acts chapter 2 how there was absolutely no hindrance. People say, how in the world did they have such an unbelievable power at Pentecost? And right after that, because there was nothing between anybody until Ananias and Sapphira came in. And then there was a problem. There was such a hindrance, God had to remove the hindrance. You see what I'm saying? What does God want to do in your heart? He wants to make sure that it's right. He wants to make sure that when you go to bed tonight, your conscience is void of offense between God and man. And God says, that's why you come, to get things right. Why? Because I want you to be together. Why, God? Why is it so important that you want us to be together? You want to draw us together. You want us to hear faith and truth together. You want us to be encouraging together, because I've got a job for you. People need to be saved. In order for that to happen, you need to pray. And in order for me to answer, you've got to be in unity. Confess your faults one to another, and the prayer of a righteous man, one who is willing to do that, one who is willing to make sure their heart's clean before God and man, that prayer availeth much. Why are we here? Because our faith needs to be strengthened. Every time we're away from here, it's tested, it's tried, the darts come, and I got to come back for more, and I come back to this old fountain right here, and I drink it in, and I say, oh yeah, I remember, if I'll submit to the shepherd of my soul, though he leads me through that valley of the shadow of death, and before mine enemies he makes a table prepared for me, I know that if I'll follow him, surely goodness and mercy is going to follow me all the days of my life, because I know where I'm going to be in the house of the Lord forever. Boy, God would not hold anything back from a church like that. He would not hold any blessing back from a church like that. A church that has that kind of faith, a church that wants to encourage others, and a church that's willing to say, you know what, I don't want there to be anything hindering our prayers. It shouldn't be strange to us that God requires that, because God says to the husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge and be not bitter against them. Why? That your prayers be not hindered. God wants to hear from us as a church. And he wants to do something mighty and amazing in this church and through it. And I believe he's getting there. I believe through this series of events that's unfolded in the last 2 weeks that God is drawing this body together. And he's doing it because we're not looking at each other. We're looking to him. We're not focused on ourselves. We're focused on someone else. To strengthen our faith, number one. Number two, to encourage our friends. Number three, to confess our faults. Number four, and I'm done. We're here to become a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. Now, we think in circles that we have run in for years, some of us that have been in independent Baptist churches, we've heard preachers take a Hebrews 10:25 and beat it over the head of people just to get them in the church, just to get them in the seat, okay? I would rather preach it and present it so that their hearts are convicted for what they really need can only be found in the perfect plan of the local church, and then they get to decide. I would rather do that. I don't like to leverage truth in order to manipulate people. I would like to see them respond by faith. I would like to see them grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ because they want to, because they sense the need to, because they have a desire to have an intimacy with God. It's so much better watching that. It's so much better to watch them drink it in. And then when they finally get it, oh, yeah, I know now why I'm here. It's not just so that I can be here. It's so that I can be here doing what God wants me to do way down the road as we see the day approaching. It's to become what God wants me to be. Look at verse 23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith. Notice what it says. Without wavering. God does not want a wavering faith. He doesn't want a double-minded man. He wants a stable man. And in order to have that, you've got to ask. You've got to hear. You've got to be. You've got to listen. God wants me to hold my faith without wavering because he's faithful. And even when I doubt, I can trust him. And even when I'm discouraged, I can find encouragement. And even when I have a fault, I can confess it. And immediately God says, now I'm ready. Not just to forgive, but to use you. There's something about truth and togetherness. God, there's something amazing, and I don't fully understand it. I don't claim to fully understand it. But there's something about truth and togetherness that provides a protection for God's people against those things that war of our soul. Now, we've already said we have an enemy. That's the first agent of mischief. The enemy of our soul that wars against us. God wants us to be faithful when the enemy comes, and he wants us to have faith in him so that we can be faithful, so that we don't waver. And it doesn't matter what Satan lies to us about. It doesn't matter what may come according to his hand as it did to Job. God is faithful, and I'm going to not waver that way. That's his goal. The enemy wars against us, but our emotions war against us. Our emotions lie to us, and they say, God's not faithful. If he did, you wouldn't feel this way. God's not loving because if he did love you, you wouldn't feel this way. That's a lie. Doesn't matter how I feel, it doesn't change God. So when those emotions come and, well, I don't like these circumstances, so I'm going to be angry. So you're going to let anger be your God now instead of Adonai. Well, I just feel like I was treated unjustly. So you're going to let injustice be your God now instead of the just one. The enemy wars against our soul, and our emotions war against our soul. And God says, don't waver. Don't waver. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. Why? Because he is faithful that promised. That's the goal, to be a faithful follower of Christ. There's another enemy that wars against our soul, and that's simply error. Error. All that is not true, all of the view of the world, not only how we got here, but where we're going and how we are to live, all that is against the Bible is error. The Bible needs to be the foundation of everything. Don't try to we're learning this on Wednesday nights, don't try to go and grab and try to make sense of the dinosaurs, or try to grab and make sense of abortion, or try to grab and make sense of the LGBT movement, and then say, okay, this does, and then have the Bible over here, and my Christian faith over here, and my church family over here, and have all this just spinning around on top and saying, you know, God, it just doesn't make sense. I don't know how it all fits. It only fits if you start with the Bible. Now, I'm going to start with the Bible. I'm going to see what is truth, and then I'll be able to recognize error. Hallelujah that we have the truth. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The word of God is quick and powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of my own heart, my own emotions, that is deceitful and wicked above all things. Who can know it? The next verse, Jeremiah 17 in verse 20. I, the Lord, know the heart. I try the reins. God says, I want you to be faithful. That's why you're here. That's why you need to be here. Somebody say amen. That's why we need to be here. Why? Because you have a need. It's to be faithful. Why? Because God's faithful. Because he's faithful to promise. Can you just deduce this just for a minute for me? If the Bible says, be ye holy, for I'm holy, do you really need the Bible to say, be ye faithful, because I'm faithful? Because it does say that. Be faithful. Why? Because faithful is he that promised, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the Father. You see, if God said it more plainly, maybe we'd get it more plainly. But God says, no, I'm going to put it out there because I want you to choose. I want you to choose to be faithful. Why? Because God can't mandate through your own body and control you to be faithful. But he sure would love it if you would be. That's the goal. Ephesians 4:14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Would you turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15, and I'll close. What do you need tonight? Your faith to be strengthened? I know mine's been strengthened today. You need to be encouraged by your friends? Man, I have been encouraged today in ways you have no idea. Are there any faults that you need to make right tonight? Are you avoiding them, or are you willing to confess them? Because God wants you to be faithful. 1 Timothy 3, I want you to look at verse 15. Paul writing one of his last letters before he dies. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. Of all the things that Paul could have wrote about in his last two letters, what did he write about the church? The importance of how to behave yourself in the house of God, and he names it the pillar and the ground of truth. Why? Because there is an onslaught from an enemy that brings error. And if I'm going to be faithful without wavering, then I'm going to have to grow up. I'm going to have to exercise my faith. I'm going to have to remain faithful even when I don't feel like it. I'm going to be faithful because he's faithful. And I know that my emotions don't change who he is, so I'm going to choose. With age, with strain, comes growth and maturity and strength. I remember being a young boy, and my dad was always an avid hunter, and we would hunt dove and quail and pheasant, different things, rabbit. And I always remember he had some binoculars that I really, really loved. And he would say, no, you can't have them. And I'd say, but why? He said, because you're too short. And that meant I'm too young. I'm not responsible enough to have them. He said, I'll give them to you, but you're going to break them. And I don't. And I hagged him. He would always tell me that, you're just a hag. You hag me about everything. You hag me about why I can't or where am I going to go. You're just a hag. You hag me all the time. Stop hagging me, he'd say. Finally, I hagged him to the point he said, fine, okay, listen. Because I'd beg him, Dad, please, can I have a binocular? Please, can I have a binocular? Just talk about covetousness. Oh, man. That's all I wanted was that binocular. And the next week, it was like a bike. If I just had that one thing, you know what I'm talking about? So my dad said, okay, I'll make you a deal. If you can hold a box of shotgun shells out like this for 2 minutes, you can have the binoculars. Like the big box? He goes, no, I'm going to give you the little box. Now, buckshot comes in just 5 rounds in a small single box. It's just a little box. It's just like that big. And I'm going, how hard can this be? And I'm 7 years old, and I have noodles for arms. And I'm going, well, I was like, I got to do that big box? No, you just do this little box. I was like, okay, well, you got it. So I took that box, and he said, now I'm going to start the timer, and I'm going to stand here and watch. I still remember it like it was yesterday. I was standing in his room, and I'm like, I'm getting binoculars. I'm going to do this. He said, okay, hold your arms out. So I took two boxes. He wanted me to do both arms. And I was like this. I was like, okay, good. I'm sitting there in my mind going, cake. Are you kidding? This is a joke. I'm going to do this easily. There's no way you're going to get me. And all of a sudden, the weight started. And I was like, and five little shotgun shells, Brother Scott. You wouldn't think that that would be hitting me so hard. I started going. And the time started going. It's not even a minute. I'm like, he had him set out on the bed, too. And I was like, my noodles were shaking. I was like, and he's laughing. And I was crying, but Dad, I want the binoculars. It's like, I'm sorry, but you didn't make it. And he put the binoculars back up. And I was like, I hate you. You're mean. So then after that, he would tease me. So you still want the binoculars? No. So he'd ask me again, do you want the binoculars? You want to try it again? Yeah, I'll try it again. Can I do just one? He'd say, yeah, I'll let you do one. So I grabbed just one. I was like, okay, that's the deal. If this one is the, I'm not spending too much energy, so I put it out there. I'm leaning. He's like, no, don't lean. And then put the binoculars back up. I still remember the day that I held it out there, and I held it out strong, and I didn't waver. And I got the binoculars. But it didn't come until I was strong enough. So I had to continue to try. And I had to continue to work at. I had to continue to grow so that I could take that and hold it out without wavering. I was faithful. Now, God wants you to take this book. And he doesn't want you to hold it out like this. I used to punish second and third graders in Bible college. In fact, Pastor Chapel's son, who loves me dearly, I hope he watches this online. Pastor Chapel's son, when he was in my class, was not a very good boy. And he's a pastor now, and I can say this. He would admit it. Hopefully he would admit it. And I would say, Matt, come here. Teacher told you not to talk. That was my ministry, was I was the bouncer. They said, we want you to work in the second, third grade. So I said, sure, what do you want me to do? You want me to teach? No, we just want you to take care of undisciplined children. I was like, well, that's no fun. Then I realized, this is really fun. How fun is this? Matt Chappell, every single Sunday, he came out. I said, Matt, dude, what's the deal? The teacher says, don't talk. And you, like, take that as a command. I'm going to talk and do whatever I want. So I said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take this Bible, and I want you to stand in the back of the classroom like this. And I've had, like, five of them stand by there. Brothers, please stop the pain. And it just awful, just torturing children with the word of God. I'd be like, oh yeah, I took shotgun shells and I stand them up there. Bless God, you need to stop. Just quit your whining and stop talking. They'd be like, but I can't feel my arms. I was like, so what? God doesn't want us to hold out like this or like this. You know what he wants us to do with it? He wants us to put it in here. And he wants us to walk it every day. And he wants us to take it and he wants us to dish it out every day. He wants our kids to sense it and feel it. He wants us to give it to our loved ones and our wives. And he wants us to give it to everybody that has a need. And he wants us to do it faithfully. And he wants us to do it to the point where we don't waver. And we need each other if we're not going to waver. Why are we here? Because God called us to be here. That's why. And he wants us to be here because he is working to make every single one of us a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. You cannot be, I am convinced, a faithful follower of Christ, listen, on your own. And some of you have been trying to do it for far too long, and you need to stop. Say, what I need is Jesus. I need to strengthen my faith. I need others around me to encourage me. And I need to make sure that my heart is right before I leave this place, because that's why God brings us here. Not only to confess our sins, and this ought to be a place. Listen, if you're not going to get right at home, get right here. If you're not going to take the time to have your heart purified before God because of the blood of Jesus at home, then come to church and get right at church. But in doing so, make sure that you're right with each other so that you can serve one another. so that the law of Christ can be fulfilled within each other, so that our church can have the power of God on it together. Something about togetherness and truth. Why do we come? Because we need to be here. We need our faith strengthened. We need our friends to encourage us along the way. We need faults to be forgiven for the sake of the body of Christ, and we need to put some miles on that old path of following Jesus Christ. Listen, no matter where it takes us, call for and seek ye out the old paths, the Bible says, and walk therein. Heavenly Father, we love you and we thank you for being so gracious. God, I know that you are doing what only you can do in this church. It cannot be manufactured, and I pray that we would all join in what you're doing. I pray that we would have the grace of God be real to us. I pray, God, that we've been encouraged tonight. Help us not to waver. Let us draw near. Let us consider. Let us hold fast. I pray that you continue to work in our church. I pray that you'd work even now in this room. And I pray that we would surrender all that we have to your perfect plan. God, thank you for the church. Thank you for the body of Jesus Christ. I'm so grateful that your plans are perfect. And Lord, I pray that from this night forth, that our church would be together in one accord, unanimous in consent together. So that when we do pray, it's effectual, it's fervent, and it availeth much. I pray that we would see that your design for us to be together and your design for us to walk together makes sense and is needful. I pray that every one of us tonight have had our faith strengthened. Lord, we've said that we believed it, but we still need more. We need more help. We need more mercy. We need more grace. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and grace to help in our need. I pray that tonight that we would unite, not just around people who are hurting and in need, as the Sorrentinos or the Trujillos or the Winners, but we would unite around the cross, that people would be saved, that we would have a greater eternal purpose that we can't see now, only though through a glass darkly, but someday we'll see it when we're face to face with you. I pray that you'd bless. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I wonder if you were challenged tonight. I wonder if you've considered where you are in your walk and your journey. I wonder what part of the message you needed. I wonder if you've come tonight and you've said, you know, Lord, I realize that my faith needs to be strengthened and I want to have a stronger faith. Maybe what you need is encouragement. I always have found the best way to be encouraged is to give encouragement. And then God gives it back. Let me just say this. I don't know why the Lord put it on my heart. Don't be a selfish Christian. Don't think about what people need to come to you and say, and I hope they come to you and be one of those who has friends because you've shown yourself friendly. Give that encouragement. Maybe there's some relationships that have been strained or tainted in this church building. And I would tell you, by God's grace, you need to get that right tonight so that your prayers are not hindered. So that this church's progress is not forward. It could be in your own home. It could be your own children, your own spouse. It could be with someone sitting on the other side of the aisle. Confess that fault. Get it right. Maybe you'd say, you know, Pastor, I don't necessarily claim to be a super Christian, but I know tonight I need to be more faithful. And I know that's God's intention and plan for me. If it is, this church is where God's brought you, has called you, you need to be a part of this. And I don't mean just to sit on the edge. I mean, you need to get in. That's God's plan. Maybe tonight God would do a work in your heart. Man, if you could see and know everything that I have seen in the last 2 weeks and known, and God wants you to, and he will, but he wants you right now to consider your walk with him. did you really feel tonight like you needed to be in church? Or did you just come? That's the difference. Let's let God impact us so that we can make an impact on others this week. Would you stand with me with your heads bowed and eyes closed? Heavenly Father, we confess to you that we are in need. That's why we're here. And God, many times we walk through those doors and we don't even understand or know that we needed to be here. Yet you have, in your grace and mercy, allowed us to come tonight. And for that, I'm thankful. I'm thankful for faithful families. I'm thankful for faithful Christians who have just decided to follow Jesus no matter where that leads them. I'm thankful for church members who have reached out. God, I pray we'd not stop. Lord, it's not about necessarily just ministering to others. The encouragement is overwhelming, and that's part of it. But God, there's a greater purpose involved. You are uniting this church, and I am so grateful for it. And the witness of outsiders has confirmed in my own heart what you're doing within us, and I pray that you'd not stop. Lord, I pray that you would catapult us into being a soul-winning machine, that we would see people saved, that you would bring people to this place, that it would be a space where they find the grace of Almighty God, that they would find it sufficient and overflowing. And God, if they're going to find that, it has to be that way in our lives. I pray that you touch Christians' hearts tonight. Revive us again, oh God. We need you. Not only do we need to be here, we need to be responding to why we're here. And I pray that you would work in a very special way. Bless this invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. With heads bowed and eyes closed, the altar's open tonight. If you feel like you need to come, if you feel like you need to come and make some decisions about your faithfulness, about your faith, about the encouragement that you need to give or you need to receive, I want you to step out and come tonight. I just want you to pray. Maybe you just need to come and pray with your family. Maybe you need to come and pray about this church. Maybe you need to come and join.